This sermon was preached by Pastor Naftali Ogalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya.
Let us read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Earlier, we read Matthew chapter 28, another account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Sasa, tunasoma Luka 24, mstari wa kwanza, hadi 12. Okay? And I read. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces on the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary of Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. We ask the question, did the resurrection of Jesus really take place? Or was it just a made-up story by the gospel writers? Some may ask, but what difference does it make anyway whether he rose up or he remained in the grave to today? And I ask you, do all these things have any effect on you? Whether Jesus rose again or whether his bones are still in the grave up to now? Do these things affect you? My friends, I hope after today's message, you will say, yes, so the resurrection of Jesus is truly important. That is what I want us to see. A brief review. If I remind you briefly of what we saw on Thursday or on Friday, because not many of you are here, we were looking at the reason or the question, who put Jesus to death? Who killed Jesus? And we looked and saw a number of reasons. In fact, last Sunday, we found out that Pilate, governor of Judea, was squarely responsible for the death of Jesus. Sababu gani? We are told he's the man who had the power, humanly speaking. He was the governor. And Jesus was accused before him And he knew that Jesus aliletwa kwake by his enemies because the enemies were envious. Walikuwa na wivu. And yet, Pilate himself alijua ya kwamba Yesu hakuwa na hatia. He was innocent. Even the wife of Pilate sent a word and said, have nothing to do with that man. He's innocent. But we also know that it's not only Pilate who put Jesus to death. In fact, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they were responsible for the death of Jesus. Vipi? Ah, it's because they were jealous. You see, friends, Jesus was doing mighty works, miracles, and teachings. And many people were following him. But then, the scribes and the Pharisees were feeling, oh, people are leaving us. This man is taking away all the following. And also because Jesus claimed he's the Son of Man. And because of that, then these religious leaders in Israel, the Jewish leaders, hated him. And therefore told Pilate to destroy him. And so we see therefore that the religious leaders were responsible for the death of Jesus. But more than that, on Friday I pointed out to you that Satan was involved in putting Jesus to death. How? It's because Satan entered into Judas. And Judas then betrayed Jesus. And then he was put to death. And another thing we found, which now we dealt with on Friday, that God the Father himself actually was involved in putting his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to death. Now that may have come as a shock to you, but it is true. The Bible tells us that all that happened to Jesus was according to the plan of God, the foreknowledge of God. Let me read this verse which we read last week again, because it's important to know it. In the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 23, this man, Jesus, was handed over to you, Jewish people, by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, Jewish people, with the help of wicked men, that is, Pilate and the Roman soldiers, you put him to death by nailing him on the cross. And so God the Father was involved. And finally, I showed you also that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was responsible for his own death. How do we say that? Well, it's because he repeatedly told his disciples ya kwamba tunaelekea Jerusalem na nitateswa na nitapelekwa mbele ya Pilato ambao atanitolea hukumu ya kifo, and they will crucify me. But then what happens? In 3 days' time, I will rise up. That is Jesus talking, and not only once, but many times. And then a number of times in the book of John, he tells us, I lay down my life. And of course, I have the power to take it up again. So Jesus was responsible for his own death. But then, my friends, we ask the question also, why did Jesus die? And we found two reasons. One, at least when we restrict ourselves, look at the reason, why would God put his Son to death? The answer is, because of sin. God hates sin. And anyone who bears sin, God will destroy. And so God put his Son to death as a punishment for sin. Not his own, but for the sin of his people. Also, I pointed out to you that the reason Jesus died was so that Jesus would become the way for us to God. The way for us to God. Without his death, we cannot have fellowship with God at all. Now, that's a long introduction, but helpful because many of you are not here on Friday. And so, the question is, did he rise again? Well, yes, he did. This is not just a made-up story by the gospel writers. And these things have a big influence on every one of us. What we want to see now is how the resurrection of the Lord Jesus affected the women, and then how it affected the disciples, and finally, how it must affect every one of us within the time that we have. Let's go speedily. When we look at the first 10 verses of Luke 24, we see how a group of women reveal their love for the Lord Jesus. We are told that these women, who were the first to discover that the tomb was empty, in fact, they also are the ones who heard of the resurrection story, the very first one. It's amazing. Think of it. In the land of Palestine, particularly those days, we are told that if women gave an evidence in a court of law, their evidence would not be recorded down as valid. That's how much they despised women. Mwanamke akisimama na kusema, ndiyo niliona, ndiyo nilisikia hivi. That evidence, no one will buy it in a court of law. And yet, they are the ones first to report that Jesus is resurrected, my friends. Now, let me say it this way. If resurrection story was just a made-up story, then it would be very foolish for the gospel writers to include this bit about women. Because, remember, my friends, Christianity, we will say it again, Christianity hangs on the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. Now, if these gospel writers, the apostles, if they say the women are our witnesses, ya kwamba, Yesu alifufuka, and they want their story to be believed, then you would say, you writers of the gospel, please cook up another story. But my friends, I'm telling you, this was not a cooked up story. It is true. You see, if you read the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, wakati Luke anaanza kuandika, anasema, this is a true and an accurate record. So what Luke is writing to us here is accurate and orderly account of what happened to the Lord Jesus. Now, you see something we learn about these women? Their love for the Lord Jesus. Oh, it is seen in this, and don't miss it. Let me show it to you. Here are these women. They knew all that had happened. If you read verses before, the beginning of chapter 24, utaona ya kwamba, when Jesus was being crucified, hawa wanawake walikuwa wamekaa. Just, they were helpless. They sat, they observed all that happened to Jesus. And then at the end, they went away and they bought spices, manukato mbalimbali, and kept them during the Sabbath. Now, after the Sabbath, they were to bring this to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, they saw all that happened. One of the things that they saw was this huge, big stone which was rolled, kufunika, if you like, kama mlango ya kaburi. A big, huge stone rolled. But my friends, this first morning, these women then march with their spices to the grave. Everything went against them. And as they were marching to the grave, one of the writers tell us that really it is only on their way. The book of Mark chapter 16. Wakati walikuwa wanaenda, ndio wanashangaa nao. But who is going to roll the stone away for us anyway? But love for the Lord Jesus made them go with this perfume so that they could anoint the body of Jesus. They wanted to preserve the body of Jesus so that it remained fresh. What love! They served him when he was alive. They saw him die and buried in the tomb and a big stone rolled. But love still compelled them on the first day to go, and wanting to wapake all that perfume. And yet there was to be a big stone, or they left a big stone in front of the grave. And my point is simple. These people loved the Lord Jesus. Don't miss that point, please. However, they went, something happened. And here now, we are seeing their fear and their perplexity or wonder. Hofu iliwashika na ushangao. You see, when they arrived, we are told, verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Wow. Now that is shocking. And of course, rightly so. They began to wonder. Walikuwa na ushangao kali sana. And while they were still deep in worry and in fear, then to make it worse, two angels, or two men, some versions say two angels, some say two men, but these obviously were angels, appear and begin to speak to them. And of course, seeing these people face to face with clothes bright, hope iliwashika. And they know they were lost. What do we do? What does all this mean? The body we had come to anoint is not even in the grave. Only pieces of clothes are there. And then listen to what these men tell them. Suddenly, middle of verse 4, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them or beside them. Verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men say to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why? What are you doing? You are in the wrong place, but for the right thing, we may say. Yes, you search the right thing. You are searching for Jesus. But you are searching now for him in the wrong place. Of course, that was just, you know, made their minds blow, as it were. But my friends, we see they were filled with fear and wonder. However, we then quickly see their faith. Though fear and wonder was right before them because of what had happened, when the scripture was brought to their mind, that was enough. Look at verse 6 and verse 8, up to verse 8. These people tell them, he's not here, he's risen. Now listen to this. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised up again. Then they remembered his words. Oh, that's beautiful. And at that point, my friends, these women who were filled with worry and wonder and perplexity, mara moja, they become people of faith. Let me just ask you then as we move on. Do you have a love for Jesus which, even in your little way, but which can make you behave like these women? They loved Jesus. They served Jesus when he was still alive. They observed him at death and burial. That was not enough. They were coming back to show their love to him even when he was dead. Of course, they missed him. But do you have a love for Jesus? A love which wants to make you to serve him. Now, thanks be to God, he's not dead. He's not going to die again. But if these women could love him, isn't he dead? Do you love him who is alive forever? Is he precious to you? Jesus needs to be precious to us so that he would make us go beyond the odds, as it were. And did you see the odds? Now, these people knew that Jesus was buried. He died and he was buried. And then this big rock rolled, which blocked the entrance of the cave. But they came in the morning. They bought spices, carried them. Those are what I'm calling the odds. Their love for Jesus made them do things which others would look at them and say, these women are crazy. That man is dead. He's buried. And that place is blocked. In fact, there are soldiers there. But that could not stop their love for Jesus. They love him. And of course, we are told, by the way, that from there, these two angels told them, go and tell his disciples. And they went and said, so this is the Jesus I'm setting before you. Do you love him? So much that he will make you do things which others may look at you and say, now you're crazy. That's the love we need for Jesus. Well, then we move on. We've seen how the resurrection reveals the love these women had for Jesus. But what about the disciples? Now we find a different story. Remember, now we are dealing with Kufufuka Kwake Yesu Kristo, which should be the most exciting news for everyone. But when we look at how the disciples behaved, then it's unfortunate. You see, we see that they had hearts of disbelief. Now, if you look at verse 11, they did not believe the women because their words, that the words of the women, seemed to them like nonsense. But remember, the disciples had a wonderful opportunity, privilege, because again and again, Jesus had told them that we are going to Jerusalem and there I will be abused, I will be accused falsely, be mistreated, and then finally they'll put me to death, but I'll rise up again. Somehow, they would hear it through this ear and out it went. So it never stayed with them, sadly. And when the women spoke to them, they said, you new puzitele. That's what we are told. Nonsense, they say. If those who were there and had these things found the story about resurrection hard to believe, I know it is not easy. I'm not speaking to you and saying, automatic, from now you should have everything all sorted out in your mind. No, I know that's not true. But my friends, the story or the truth of resurrection is powerful. It changes lives. And we see the change that it began now to bring to these people. Verse 12. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away wondering to himself what had happened. So that was Peter. He listened. He said nonsense, but it's like his conscience was pricking him. And he ran. And another Gospel of John tells us that John also ran after him. And they looked in the tomb and all they could see were pieces of cloth. You know what that tells us, my friend? This was no robbery. People did not come and steal Jesus in the night as they as the scribes and the Pharisees had told the soldiers to claim. If this was robbery, what would have happened? A robber, when they come, they do not take their sweet time and unwrap the dead and then leave the wrappings there and walk away with their loot. Oh no, robbers would come and take him away, including all that he was wrapped in, so that they could go and do all that by the side somewhere. But here, my friends, yungo yote ambao walitumia kumfunika, it's just left there. And the body was gone. You see, we are seeing here, my friends.
We do hope you have been blessed by the sermon you have heard. We want to encourage you to tune in to more of similar messages. We also want to encourage you, if you are able, come and join with us in our worship services at Grace Baptist Church, West Indies, Eldoret, just behind Cogo Flats. Thank you.